Hello, sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Okay, sir, would you state your full name and ADC number for the record, please?
John Pershing Wolf with E. Junior. 0816388.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to a parole hearing. I'm going to introduce the board members that will be conducting a hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then we have the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. And then we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. To my left is the Honorable Lee Canonis. My name is David Neal, and I'll be your hearing lead this afternoon. So, sir, you've been before the board a few times, so I think you understand the basic premise. I'm going to go over some basic information, and then we'll talk with you a little bit about what's been going on since the last time we saw you, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you're 70 years old now?
Yep.
70 and a half, okay. You're serving a life sentence for first degree murder, which we began April 18th, 1989. You were sentenced on September 10th, 1990 after being convicted by a jury. You became parole eligible on April 18th, 2014. And you were certified for this hearing for regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge on March 1st, 2019. You've appeared before the board on six prior occasions and have been denied each time. So I'm going to go over a summary of the offense at this time. So it seems that April 18th, 1989, Phoenix Police responded to an emergency radio call of a shooting on 2239 East Harvard in Phoenix, Arizona. After interviewing several witnesses, police learned that you twice shot your .44 Magnum revolver at victim Luis Rodriguez as Mr. Rodriguez was parking his vehicle. One bullet missed the victim and lodged in the vehicle door. The second bullet hit Mr. Rodriguez in the head, killing him. He was unarmed. After shooting Mr. Rodriguez, you left the area and buried your gun in a garden in your backyard. It was 5-year-old Joseph Mazasik was with you when you shot the victim and when you buried the gun. It seems that during questioning, you admitted that you shot Mr. Rodriguez and that you believe Mr. Rodriguez is a hitman who was after you. Your blood alcohol content was 0.17% at 9:12 p.m. on the day of the shooting, and it was 6:20 p.m. when the police got the call of the shooting. So for some 3 hours later, you were going with so the 0.17%. Tell your intoxicated.
No, I wasn't either.
So now we've got that part of the film. And that's just the basic information about the crime as we have the information here. We'll discuss a little bit more in a minute or two, okay?
Yeah.
Alright, so prior to this you had a couple of DUIs.
Just one.
Well, I think there was two arrests, and one was dismissed, and one was a conviction. So, but that's not a whole lot of criminal history, not like you're out robbing banks and everything. You've had minimal discipline since you've been incarcerated, and none in the last 5 years. In fact, your last discipline was in 2007 for disobeying an order. That's pretty commendable, sir. It's pretty hard to do in prison to totally stay out of trouble. You've got some programming. There's no current support letters. There's some older ones in there, and there's no one here in the gallery in support. Your release plan is a little lacking, but it does say that your plan is for the gospel rescue mission. I did not see a letter of admission, but it's better than not having any plans. It doesn't say anything about your any current financial support you'd have for yourself, but it does say that you'd be applying for Social Security and possible VA benefits. So you've been in the Army for 3 years, sir?
Yeah, Vietnam at 69, 70.
So how long were you actually in Vietnam?
For a year.
Just a year?
Yeah, that's all they required.
Yeah, that's about 13 months too long. I was lucky I got to go to Korea during the Vietnam War, not Vietnam. So thank you for your service.
Welcome.
Okay, so let's go over a little bit of information. You were going to make some comments about the offense, sir?
Well, yeah, they don't have it correct.
Okay, what
is the reason? The subject, he was known for carrying a knife. He was a drug dealer. My neighbor told me he was sticking people with a knife. He was knifing people. Probably for not paying them. And he was just trying to terrorize me or intimidate me. And he was mad dogging me. And I was stressed out. I couldn't find a good job. I went down to Tucson. I couldn't find a good job down there. I came back and I was working for a small company. And I broke three ribs. I was with my girlfriend and she spun the car out. I broke three of my ribs. And it made it difficult to work. And then this joker is suddenly mad dogging me. And in my own living quarters. I thought he was from Mexico. I thought he came up here and dealt drugs from Mexico, but he's driving a brand new car. A brand new Pontiac.
Why did you think he was after you?
He wasn't after me. He was just intimidating me or mad-dogging me. He dared me on the roads.
But if he's not after you, if he's not actually taking the knife out and threatening to kill you or something, why would you shoot the man?
I didn't even do that. I just pointed the gun at him, stopping him from terrorizing me.
Okay, you pointed the gun at him, but two bullets came out of your gun and one stuck in the car and the other one hit him in the head.
Not till he quit mad-dogging me.
Okay, give me a definition of mad-dogging.
Well, when he pulled in, I thought he was gone. I thought he left, went back to Mexico or whatever. I went out by my truck, ran, and he pulls in there, almost hit me, and he turned around and starts mad-dogging me, just staring at me, just trying to intimidate me. They call it mad-dogging.
Okay, so apparently, in your definition of mad-dogging, it puts you in peril of your life?
He was a cutthroat, and my cousin's throat had just been cut ear to ear from an illegal alien.
Okay, well, I'm having real trouble understanding why, if somebody's looking at you and you think that they're a bad person and may have killed other people, if they're just looking at you, why that would require a response of pulling out a gun and pulling the trigger twice. I just don't understand the reasoning there, sir. I mean,
well, if you understood, ever since I was about 6 years old, up until that time, I had put up with boys and people bullying me and persecuting me, and I just couldn't take it no more.
Okay, well, so at that point in time, if a woman would have pulled in the parking lot and almost hit you, and then she looked at you because she thought you were, had caused this, you'd go ahead and shoot her because you snapped, or?
Women don't do that. Just cycles do that. Psychopaths do that.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess the easy way to do this is, can you explain to me, and to me alone, or just one member of the board, one voting member of the board, explain to me what has changed in you and your life and what you've done since this offense that would make you a good candidate for return to the community on parole. What is it that would make you a good candidate for that?
Well, I can clean highways. I'm a working man. I'm not like some of these slackers. I've worked all my life. I worked for 23 and a half years. I should be eligible for my Social Security. If nothing else, we can clean up illegal dump sites, clean up river areas, clean up highways. I'm still still able to work. There's not much I can do in here, but I work part time here. I'm careful not to offend anybody whatsoever. I donate to charities whenever they have fundraisers. I read a lot. I educate myself by reading a lot.
I don't see a whole lot in your packet that shows that you completed any of the structured programming or any of the college courses from outside the prison. I commend you for reading a lot because that, you know, that can do a lot of educating and everything, but it is hard to quantify that type of education.
I do have certificates.
I didn't say you don't have any. I said there's not a whole lot. And, you know, we get inmates that have been in as long as you, that we've got half a ream of paper that's nothing but certificates from different classes. They've gotten a lot within, but a lot from the community colleges outside the prison system. That's all I'm saying is you don't have a lot of it there. Not that you haven't done any, and reading a lot is very, it is commendable, especially since it does keep you out of trouble. And I think if more inmates read more, there wouldn't be as many disciplinary actions going on there. It keeps you busy. So, but what about you, your personality, your way of thinking? Do you still think that somebody that you suspect of being a drug dealer, a hitman, or maybe you suspect that has stabbed people in the throat? Do you still think somebody like that, if they're looking at you and trying to intimidate you, that
they would? Well, no, they just weren't just looking at me. He was actually mad dogging me. He was trying to terrorize me.
Your definition of mad dogging is basically just he's around you and he looks at you mean and.
Yeah, exactly.
And the intimidation is based on what you think he's doing, not something that he has done.
Well,
that's what I'm
saying.
So if you had somebody, if you got out on parole, to stay in an apartment, and all of a sudden there's somebody that shows up that looks at you in a manner that you think is threatening or intimidating, are you going to go try to get some kind of a weapon and do the same sort of thing to that person again?
Of course not.
Well, why not? That's what I'm asking you. Is what's different? Why are you? What's different in your way of thinking? You're talking like you're thinking exactly the same way as you did when this murder occurred.
No, I'm trying to be a saint. I'm trying to be a saint. I can't do any more than that.
Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. No questions. Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion shortly to make a determination. But before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell the board anything else you think might be pertinent for us to be able to make a valid decision?
Well, he was trying to move, he was moving his right arm. I should mention that. He was pretending he was reaching for his knife, I think, just to actually intimidate me. But at the time, I just took it as terrorism, and I just shot a hole in his door just to stop him from, just stop him from intimidating me. I wanted to intimidate him, and it worked. He stopped mad-dogging me, and he jumped out the other side of the car. That's when I got thinking he probably had a gun too. Probably wasn't even shot the second time.
Okay, well, thank you very much, sir. The board will be going into discussion now to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. We may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. But stay on the phone, just remain silent, and once we get a decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
Board is now in discussion. This is a particularly unfortunate situation that I guess I'm not wired right to have any real understanding of why this occurred. I hear from Mr. Wolf is, it sounds like he gave us a way of thinking of exactly the same as it was when this occurred in 1989. And I just, with the whole package, I just don't see him as a good candidate for parole at this time. But I'm going to listen to a discussion from my fellow board members, if there's any.
I agree with you, Mr. Neal, and I would just, and I apologize if you said this already, but I would make a note for the record that we have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated March 14th, 2019, that also objects to any possible release of Mr. Wolf. Thank you.
I did forget to mention it.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, so based on all the information today and our discussion, I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. John Wolf Jr., ABC number 081638. Deny regular parole, home arrest, or actual discharge because of the date of defense, so 1 year set off. That would be my motion. I'll keep the reasons short.
I'll second.
Agree.
Great. Motion myself, second by Mr. Knowles, Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse, and the reasons would be that it was a serious and violent offense, loss of his life. Same trauma to the victim because we feel more than one shot being fired. And actually, based on Mr. Wolf's testimony today, I'd say victim harassment. You hold somebody's car to intimidate them. A lack of programming, not because there isn't any, but there could be a lot more. The release plan is, it's poor in the fact that it's not complete. And no family or community support. And if there's anything else they don't like at it. So, Mr. Wolf, the board has voted to deny you a parole, regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time. We heard the discussion, and did you hear all the reasons I listed, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. In about a year, the Department of Corrections will certify you for another hearing, and we'll see you there, and we'll discuss this tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Would you put the CO3 back on the phone, please? Just lay the phone on the counter. Don't hang it up.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.